to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. In a little while the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow, to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is a little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be buried headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. The steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a violent wicked man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen. So Psalm 37 is another one of these acrostic psalms. And what I mean by that is David has taken basically the Hebrew alphabet, you know, from Aleph to Toph, and he's basically just going one by one, be like, you know, A, B, C, D, E, what we do in our language, and you create a song through that. The theme of this is to just rest in the Lord, more of a bigger narrative is, and you can almost see the foundations of the Proverbs. And so, you know, his son will write the book of Proverbs, another generation later. And it'll depict the wisdom that he has received from God. Remember, that was the gift of God that he gave to Solomon. And you'll find that maybe 45, maybe even 50% of it is this contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And it's a huge narrative through the Proverbs, and we can see Psalm 37 could be some of the seed in some ways by which his son will begin to write Proverbs. Now, you'll have to also recognize that in verse 25, it says, I have been young and now I am old. So we know that David wrote this as an older man. And so this is written, basically, most of the Psalms are really written to God, but this Psalm is actually written to man. And it's a reflection. He's offering wisdom to men in his old age. So it's a song. Remember, all the Psalms are songs. It's a message to men in his old age, a culmination of wisdom that is collected over all of these years. So that's kind of the background to all of these things. And so just think of this as more like a singing proverb than anything else, using the Hebrew alphabet. That's why it's so long. And so let's just start off. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And remember, time on this planet is short. And so we could look at the wealthy, we could look at the famous, and we can, all those things, and you need to know that that is a very, very short time, especially compared to eternity. And when you see that, when you look at eternity, everything we do here on earth is so short. And so for us, do not fret. The word fret, particularly the way it's used here in Hebrew, is really more about a let go. Like probably the best modern translation is don't get so worked up. Right? Don't get so worked up in your heart about evildoers. And probably the context is not that we're just looking out at the world like at people that are doing evil, but it's more dealing with something that's happening to him in that way, or something that he's personally acquainted with in some way. And he says, don't get all worked up about this. Just be able to let go. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. This is the really a great picture of a Hebrew idea of what faith means, what it means to really trust God, what it means to really operate in faith. And it's this idea of trust. In other words, it's your heart, it's your mind, and these type of things, and then do good. And so it was not just something that we had in our mind or something that we had in our heart, but we actually go about and with our bodies and our action actually do good. That's why when we read like the book of James, and I know many people really struggle with that, and James says something simple things like faith without works is dead. And we get all worked up as Western people. How can that be? Because I thought faith was, you know, apart from works and, you know, talking about salvation and those kind of things. But that's not what James is saying. James is really coming with this Jewish idea of what it means to really believe. And so to really believe not just meant that you believed in your mind and you believed in your heart, you trusted God, but true belief means you actually went out and did something about it. And so then you can understand what James is trying to tell us. It's not a passage that has salvific consequences. It's actually just a simple Jewish idea that if I really believe, then guess what? This is what I'm going to do. And it's so true. And this should be wrapped up in our thinking. But unfortunately, I don't want to go through a history lesson, but unfortunately what happened is Greek thought and Greek philosophy, and you could say it this way, worldly philosophy began to creep into the believers. And also now there was a divide between what you believed and what you thought compared to what you did. And so because, remember, they felt that the body was not important, it was immaterial. The only thing that mattered was inside your mind, your thinking, your spirit, your soul in that way. And so they could, you know, consider themselves to be righteous men and do the most unrighteous things in their life. And the reality is, don't you think that that's really what's caused most of the calamity and evil in this world? You have people that think they're doing good, but doing the most horrific things in their life. Look at World War II. Look at the Nazis and so on and so forth. People think they're doing good. They think they're righteous or they're right, but yet they're doing the most horrible things. And when this divide begins to happen in our lives, we're in big trouble. And we got to make sure what we believe, what we think, what's in our heart matches with what we do. I cannot tell my wife, honey, I love you. You are my wife, and then have a mistress on the side. Do you see how those things don't compute in that way? That is the centrality of the Jewish mind. It's the centrality of their understanding of God. I believe, I my mind is fixed, I trust God, and so because I trust God, I don't worry. Or I don't go about doing something. Because I have faith in God, then my actions reflect my faith. The problem that we see in the modern church today is so much of Greek thought, of worldly thought, has entered in that we make this divide in this way. And so I trust God, I believe in God, yet I sleep around with all kinds of people. Before marriage, after marriage, so on and so forth. I believe God, I trust God, but yet at work, all I do is lie. Well, not all you do, but you know, you take on the devices. And so what you believe and what you do, there's a great divorce that's there. And so you got to understand when the Jews, when they really thought about their faith, this was central to their faith. And you know what? It should be central to our faith, because when we believe something and when we say believe we something and these type of things, and then our actions actually contradict that, you know what they call that? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. James actually will talk a little bit in depth, and he says that there is double-mindedness that happens. And so you got to just remember that. Trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, let your actions express your faith and your trust. It makes total sense, doesn't it? But yet, this worldly thoughts, these worldly ideas begin to enter into our mind, into our consciousness. And as a result of that, we fall into a lot of error. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This could very well be one of the most misused verses in the Bible, because it makes us seem to think that God, whatever is in our heart, God may give to us. And you got to understand that you will not truly understand this verse until you actually understand what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. And the idea of really this particular idea is that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then His desire will be your desire. So it's not necessarily that I have this human or fleshly desire in my heart. And so if I'm just close to God, then He will give me my desire. It's actually the other way around. When I delight myself in the Lord, when I'm so close to God, what happens? His desire becomes my desire. And that's the truth of this reality. Some people talk about this as Christian hedonism and these kinds of things. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And I think it's the reality is when we really, really delight ourselves. In other words, we make God the priority of our life. We want His will above all wills. You know, the next extension of that is God changes and transforms us. And next thing you know, we want what He wants. And we raise our hand. I think of Isaiah in his call. And he says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah raised his hand, here I am, Lord, send me. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? And most people have this, because I had this when I first became a Christian. I just thought, if I become a Christian, oh my gosh, He's going to send me to Africa. You know, or He's going to send me to some faraway place and I'm going to be miserable and those things. And so we had it because we don't really know God's character. We don't really know if we can trust Him with our life, if He's got the best intentions and these type of things. But as we start growing in the Lord, and as we start maturing, and as we start getting closer to God, next thing you know, what happens? God, His heart becomes our heart, and we become transformed, and then we can say, okay, yeah, you know, God, please send me to Africa. Here I am, send me, or to, you know, wherever else He may call you in that span. And that's what He does. He changes our desire, and our fleshly desire becomes godly desire. Now, it doesn't mean that He doesn't give you your desire as well, because He's a good and faithful Father. But don't use this as some kind of like magic spell or something like that that we often find in immature Christians. Followed up next was commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. Remember the context, right? This is really important when we're doing Bible study. The context is evildoers that are kind of pounding on you in that way. And so in that way, commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will do it. In other words, He will fight for you. Don't worry about the evildoers standing at your door. Commit yourself. He will fight for you. And it's a simple idea. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. In other words, He's saying that right now it may look really, really dark. It's really late at night. It may look really grim. It may look like impossible. It may look like the storm is coming. But don't worry. Your righteousness comes in the morning. The sun will shine. And your judgment as a noonday. In other words, noon being the highest point and of the sun at that stage. And He says, and your judgment, God's judgment, His righteousness will come just in time to save. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. In other words, don't fight, don't defend yourself, just wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Yeah, it's apparent. I'm not going to finish this psalm, so let me try to speed it up. Do not fret. Okay, we kind of went through that already. Okay, verse 8. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And it's a simple idea. Don't defend yourself. When the evildoers are at your door, trust in Him. Continue to do good. Commit yourself to Him. Your righteousness will come. So rest in the Lord. Be patient. Do not be angry. Cease from anger. Rest in Him. Wait patiently for Him. Evildoers be cut off, and so on and so forth. This is like such good wisdom from David. When we're in the day of trouble, we're in the time of trouble, right? Let God fight your battle for you. I'm reading this book right now. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. And it's called Christianity in a Cancel Culture. And so it's just talking about the times that we live in and how we can continue to have our Christian truths. And the writer is a former homosexual. And now, he's totally transformed. And so now he actually writes and he goes on talk shows and all these things. Basically talk about Christianity in light of homosexuality. And of course, he gets hammered. And he just in the beginning of the book, he writes about where he went on a show. I forgot, it was some famous person, kind of a talk show, and it was so anti-Christian. So while he was there, the heat of the moment got to him, and he started kind of lashing out because it was so anti coming his way, and so he started lashing out, and he went forth. And then in reflection, he's just talking about this because he felt like God gave him really good things to say. But unfortunately, he let his emotions and he started fighting, basically, in that moment, with words, obviously. And afterwards, none of his message came out. And it was just kind of a horrible ending to this whole episode that happened with him. And as he's reflecting on this there's a famous saying by C.S. Lewis, beware when you fight the devil that you don't become like him. In other words, in your quest against evil, right, you basically do the same things that evil people do, and as a result, you become just like the evil person. And in a nutshell, that's kind of what David is trying to say. And he's saying that when you're pressed in these situations, you have to learn to really trust Him. If you think about this, if Jesus, if He went to the cross And when he was being persecuted, and he was, said he was silent before his shearers. He was silent before those who were condemning him. And if Christ can take that stand, I think we can also take that stand as well in our lives. The wicked plots against the righteous. The most of this is pretty straightforward, I would think. And it's just, again, the contrasting between the evil, the wicked man, and the righteous man. So, okay, let's close our eyes. We want to have some time to pray this morning. Rest in the Lord. That continued idea of doing good. Let there be a consistency of what we believe and what we do. I believe in Jesus, so I don't sleep around. I believe in Jesus, so I don't steal. I believe in Jesus, so I'm a forgiving person. Yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He will transform your heart, that His desire becomes your desire. Remember, His will is best. His directives are right. He will lead you. And so let's just go to the Lord as we worship. Let's give Him our heart. Let's give Him not only the words of our mouth, not only the meditation of our heart, but let's give Him our bodies, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Throne, take my
continue to pray. Amen. Let's continue to go before the Lord. Let's rest in Him. Let's not worry about all the different things that are coming all around us. Let's just find our rest in Him. Let's delight ourselves in the Lord. Let's commit ourselves to Him. Let's do good. Let's cultivate ourselves in this land. The wicked will wither away, but the righteous endures forever. It's interesting that this psalm, there's a few of them, unlike many, these are actually written to men. In other words, this is a way that we could really encourage each other. And so maybe as a reflection today, because I know sometimes we think worship is just singing to God. I mean, we're singing to God, but it's just to Him. But sometimes worship, I mean, we see in this psalm, is actually talking to men. And so maybe with that reflection, maybe we can this morning just pray for others as a way of honoring Psalm 37. If you know someone that may be going through a period of time like this, then we can just spend a moment and just pray for them. So it's not about us, it's about others. Let's do that. Heart of praying for others, so let's lift up our community, especially those that are going through cancers and radiation, chemotherapy. Let's just pray for God's healing word. Who are ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. For those who are suffering from non-cancer related illness and sickness, let's pray for God's healing. Let's continue to pray for baby Owen as well. They found some blood clots in his brain that need to be taken care of, and so let's just really cover them right now. Let's pray for those who are looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for our churches there in Beijing and Shanghai. Pray for our pastors, Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe, Pastor Ricky and Steph. Let's continue to lift up the Chung family that's ministering in and out of China. And let's just lift up the churches all through this land that the gospel would be preached powerfully, that signs and wonders would happen, and that people would continue to go before the Lord. Let's pray that the revival that's happening there would continue even stronger. Let's lift up. Board. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our leaders, and just the wisdom of God would be upon each one of them before the Lord. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, women's ministry. Let's pray for the Sunday Bible study, lunchtime prayer, Pure Desire, the women's lunchtime prayer, as well as Oasis. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord be upon our ministries in this way, to connect people to themselves, to one another, and to God. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. So let's continue to lift up a benefactor and continue to ask God to bless the Vision Fund. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our pregnant moms, Kathleen, Eunice, Eiling, Jade, and others. Let's just pray for the baby in the womb would be cared for, would be comfortable, and would come out in due time. Let's pray for the health of the moms as well, and also the fathers too, that they'd be ready. Let's lift up. House churches meeting tonight, Chaiti, Fortress, Happier Valley, Gia, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Ventress, and Westfield. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide and just draw everyone closer to one another. Pray for our leaders that they would be used powerfully tonight. Lastly, let's just continue to lift up Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our city. Let's pray for God to just cover all the different things happening all around. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe life into this place. This morning, Father, we pray, God, that you'd help us, teach us, God, what it means to delight ourselves in you. Teach us, God, to submit our feelings, God, submit our powerlessness, Lord, to submit our situations to you, God, that we would dwell in the land, we'll cultivate faithfulness in the areas and spheres of influence that you give to us, God. Lord, help us to be humble, help us to be gentle. God, help us to be more like your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God. Watch over us, Lord. I pray that today that we would, God, marry, God, our words, our thoughts, and our actions together. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.